The St. Louis beer scene has grown quite a bit in the last few years. Sauce Magazine's annual guide to beer profiles some of the city's top beer talent. So for this month's installment of Soundbites, our partnership with Sauce Magazine, contributor Steve Potter talked with managing editor Catherine Claney and with brewers from two local breweries, Four Hands Brewing Company and Perennial Artisan Ales. Steve first asked Catherine about her assessment of the current beer scene in St. Louis.
I was recently having a conversation with Troika Brodsky, who's the executive director of the St. Louis Brewers Guild, and he said that there are more than 40 breweries in the guild alone, and those are all St. Louis area breweries, so roughly within a 50-mile radius. We counted nearly 10 new breweries that just opened in the last year alone, and probably twice that or even more in the last 2 to 3 years.
Do you see this happening in cities across the country, or is it St. Louis specific?
I think it's definitely happening in cities across the country. There's been a huge craft beer movement in the last decade or so where things have really blown up, not just in big cities like Chicago, but also in smaller ones. Asheville, Colorado has a huge scene. Southern California has a huge scene as well. We've really seen a big growth in the past few years.
Right. Is the St. Louis Brewers Guild, is that a relatively new organization? And what do they do, really?
The Guild has actually been around for a while. But this is, I think, Troika started with them as he is their sole employee. Everybody else has representatives from member guilds that join in. And basically, their mission is twofold: to educate people about the St. Louis beer scene, and then to promote the St. Louis beer scene as a unit. So it's not necessarily an individual brewery promoting itself, but it is the entire community supporting itself and trying to get people to come to St. Louis for beer tourism.
And the whole beer scene here in the city is something that you're looking at in this month's edition of Sauce.
It is. March is our annual guide to beer that comes out. Not that anyone needs a guide on how to drink beer necessarily, but we love to tell everybody what is going on, the latest in the scene, and who we're watching right now.
You feature five brewers.
Yes.
In this edition. Who are they and why did you choose them?
Yes. So we chose five bold new brewers in our annual guide to beer. And essentially, the five brewers that we chose all came from breweries that they started a few years ago, and the founders and owners are now sort of turning over the reins to employees that have come up through the ranks in the past few years. So we chose Luke Oldham at Second Shift Brewing Company, Brandon Stern at the Civil Life Brewing Company, Andy Hilly and Jonathan Moxie at Perennial Artisan Ales, and Andy Bergio at Four Hands. And Jonathan and Andy Bergio are here with us today.
And we welcome both you gentlemen. Hi, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hello.
What are some of the popular beers that you guys are brewing right now, Andy?
Contact High is one of our big summer beers. It's a hoppy wheat beer with orange zest. Send Help, another one, which is a collaboration we did with a skateboard company. And then April will be releasing another beer. It's kind of secret right now. We're not supposed to tell anybody about, but kind of like a salute to St. Louis, because a lot of us are from St. Louis and really support St. Louis.
Jonathan?
We're actually in a transition right now, moving out of stout season. We started brewing our Imperial Stouts, which is some of the beers that we're probably best known for, in September. So we're finishing up with 17, our mint chocolate stout, which comes out in time for St. Patrick's Day, and moving into Berliner Weiss season. So we've got a tropical Berliner Weiss called Hopfen Tea coming out next month.
Catherine, we have Andy and Jonathan with us. Of the five that you mentioned, are there things similar about them, or do they all sort of look at what they do in a different way?
I think the one sort of theme that rang true with the five of them across the board was everyone's interest in recipe development and creating really unique beers that are true to their brands. So Perennial tends to do a more artisan style, while Four Hands can be a little more different, a little crazier sometimes, but everybody has a style that's true to their brand, but the guys are really pushing the limits within that for them.
Crazy beer, Andy?
Definitely always looking for new ingredients, especially in our sour beer program that we've been building. Anything from a local kind of tropical fruit called pawpaw to just about anything you can find, boysenberries, quince, you name it. We're always looking at ingredients like food, but trying to build beers the same way that a chef would make food.
Uh-huh. You approach it that way also?
I do. I work a lot with food, and my brother is currently the chef at Perennial Lars Nails, and we like taking things from a culinary approach.
Well, you each brought a couple of samples from your respective breweries, so why don't we try one right now? Andy from Four Hands Brewing Company, why don't you pick one?
Okay.
And share it with us and tell us a little bit about it.
I'm going to go ahead and start off with Contact High that I was mentioning before. It's a dry hopped wheat beer with a lot of American hops. So you get a lot of citrus notes from the hops, but also we put a fresh pressed orange zest. This one, while having fruit in it, has it only has the essential oils from the zest, and you get it more on the nose. And when we say hoppy with contact high, we mean the hops are added later in the addition in the boil and what we call dry hopping, which is in the fermenter at the end of fermentation.
All right.
We all and so you get a lot more aroma and flavor and not the bitterness of the hop.
All right. We'll have a little sample. And this is, again?
Contact high.
Mmm. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm.
The orange comes through on the nose more and
right.
the finish. Not a lot of flavor from it. It's more subtle. We don't like to pound you in the face with the fruit. Just let you be able to, you know, smell it while you're drinking it, get a little hint of the orange. It also comes from the Cascade and Centennial hops as well.
And Jonathan, I noticed when you were sampling Andy's beer there, you took a little whiff of it like you might with a cognac or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you drink first with your eyes, and then right after that, I always go for the aroma.
What is a typical business day like for you? I'm sure you wear a lot of hats when you're at work. Andy, I'll start with you. What do you do in a typical shift?
It's generally, my shift starts with brewing. So I'll start the process of brewing by what we call mashing in, which is mixing grain with water at a certain temperature, and then allowing it to rest. Generally, I'll brew for 6 to 7 hours before the next person comes to take over. At that point, I'll move on to doing more administrative work, ordering of materials, or it could be repair and helping other people throughout the brewery.
What about you, Jonathan?
We're all utility players at Perennial, so every day is different for me. Some days I may be in the brew house, like Andy just described. Some days I'm down in the cellar transferring beer or carbonating, getting beer ready for packaging, or doing quality control.
All right, Jonathan from Perennial, why don't you choose one of the beers you brought with you today and tell us a little bit about it, and we'll see how that compares.
Sure. So today I have our 2015 Anniversaria, which is the actually the third iteration of this beer that I created for our anniversary. It's fermented with two different strains of Brettanomyces, which is also often referred to as a wild yeast. We do it in Solera, which is a technique that we stole from sherry making. So every year, we're taking a portion of the beer out of oak wine barrels, and we're blending it with fresh beer. So the average age of the beer every year is getting older. So you're getting the depth and complexity of aged beer along with the brightness of the fresh beer.
Cheers.
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 Wow, totally different than mm-hmm. the other one. What's that unusual taste that I'm experiencing?
So there's a bit of a tartness there
uh-huh.
From oxygen in the barrel along with the Brettanomyces. And I get a lot of pineapple and orchard fruit in there. And you do get a little bit of, you know, kind of coconut vanillin from the oak. Brettanomyces, unlike traditional ale yeast, evolves over time. So it's a... it's not going to taste the same 6 months from now. It's much like a fine wine. It will evolve over time.
So how long does it take to make a beer?
this beer, the fresh portion takes about 30 days to ferment uh-huh. out to dryness, but then it's combined with beer that's up to 3 years old.
Is it like a wine? Does it have a long shelf like
mm-hmm.
life like that?
Yeah. We last year at the anniversary party and a couple times since then, we've opened bottles of the first batch of this that we did in 2013, and it's still drinking great.
Andy, this is a serious question. I've noticed that you've used bottle openers on all the bottles so far. Why don't good beers just have screw-off caps? Is there a reason?
I think mostly it's the cost of the equipment mm-hmm. in which that we bottle with. Usually an affordable bottling line for a smaller craft brewery like us, it comes with just a traditional crowner that doesn't have a twist-off cap. There's also some romantic ties to that as well. I don't think I would want a twist-off cap with a lot of our beers. You know, we're tasting a beer that Jonathan just poured that's been aging. Part of it's been aging for 3 years. And it's kind of like that debate with wine where
right.
everybody doesn't want to go to the screw cap. Everybody doesn't want to go to the cork. There's a lot of tradition and new processes in brewing that are mixed in breweries like ours and the way that we produce beers. There's definitely beers that, you know, at Four Hands we produce that only take 10 days, and they're newer techniques, and we're trying to be efficient with them and still make a great beer. And then there's other beers, so that, you know, we're getting ready to release our Oud Bruin that's been aging for 26 months now, and it's delicate and beautiful, and we've taken our time in the barrel and only selected the best barrels of that. So there's something about the even the shape of the bottle. That's how particular breweries are and brewers are about picking those things.
I will say you are seeing a lot of craft beer returning to cans now or going into cans, which is, I think, a little more approachable for some people that are getting into craft beer. But the Contact High that we just sampled actually came out of a can, and that's one of your very popular summer cans. And that's one of my favorite things to take on a float trip, because you don't want to take glass and you don't want to, you know, want to risk anything or camping. But cans of Four Hands, Contact High, and Send Help are two of my favorite things to take camping.
Jonathan, you were talking about how it's important to you, the pairing of food with beer. What would you pair with what we just tried?
I think this would be brilliant with a cheese tray. You know, like you get like all the bright acidity from the beer really lifts the creamy and fatty cheese off the palate and gets you ready for the next bite.
Yeah, I think that would go well with crackers. I can just tell there. All right, Andy, what else did you bring?
We also brought Devil's Invention.
Devil's Invention.
Which is a coffee stout, and the name came from a term where in England, when coffee was introduced there, it was called Satan's Invention, uh-huh. And they thought it was actually a bad thing just because of the effects of the caffeine and how it made people feel because they'd never been introduced to it before. Uh-huh. So this is just about an 8% stout.
Now, when I hear stout, I think dark and heavy. Is that necessarily true?
Not necessarily heavy, generally dark. This beer is fairly heavy.
If you compare this one to the first two that we poured, the first two were light golden in color, and this one is much darker. It looks like a cup of coffee.
This affects my nose like a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
And we actually treat this beer similar to a cold toddy, where we actually take the coffee grounds that we get from Goshen in Illinois and put it in the fermenter and let it steep until we get that coffee aroma and taste. And then we take the beer off of the coffee and send it through our centrifuge.
What do you think as far as food, Jonathan? I picture this with some kind of hearty sandwich. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this beer would be brilliant with dessert, something rich and chocolatey, but I think also...
Oh, like, really? Huh?
Yeah, I think it would go very complimentary with that, but also like a hamburger, I think would be awesome.
Catherine, what about beer festivals and things? Are we pretty active with that around here?
We have a ton of great festivals coming up. Four Hands does one every year called the Lupulin Carnival. It's April 2nd this year. And how many breweries are you guys bringing in this year? Something like...
It's 40-something. It's supposed to be a hard number, but we've kind of expanded a little bit. But a little over 40 breweries. Well, crazy carnival acts, Stilt Walkers, Sword Swallowers, all of the nonsense that goes along with a normal carnival.
And it's regional and local. I mean, we get people coming in from all over the country, but then a lot of local brewers highlighted as well.
What about breweries maybe that have just recently opened or ones that are currently in the planning stages? Are there any?
Yes. A few have opened in the past year that we've really enjoyed. Six Mile Bridge Beer and Standard Brewing, both out in Maryland Heights, and different styles of beer. But then there's also Old Bakery Beer Company and Recess Brewing on the Illinois side. Recess is a smaller brewery in Edwardsville, and Old Bakery is a massive facility in Alton. And then there's even favorites that have been around for a while that finally have tasting rooms. O'Fallon Brewery's been in St. Louis for over a decade, and they finally built a tasting room. And Modern Brewery as well has been around for a few years.
All right, Jonathan, you brought one more beer from Perennial. Well, tell me about it.
So this is a beer called Jack Rose. It's the second installment in our Dealer's Choice series, which is a project that I've kind of headed up where we're pairing with cocktail bars across the country to basically take a classic cocktail and reverse engineer it into beer form. So what we have here is the Jack Rose, and it is based on the Jack Rose cocktail and made for the Jack Rose Dining Saloon in Washington, D.C.
It tastes apple-y to me
a
little bit.
Yes, that's correct. It is actually a hybrid of beer and cider. So it is about 20% local pressed cider. Fermented with a base beer that's basically a imperial Oktoberfest with a little bit of rye, and then it's finished with pomegranate and lime.
That's good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, like this project really allows me to kind of color outside the lines, which is something I enjoy.
Well, you know, you have some very clever names for some of these beers. Interesting. So how important is naming a beer? I mean, what's involved in choosing the name for a beer? And I don't know, what are some of the favorite names of either your beers or others?
I think coming up with a name could be the individual person that's making the beer may have something in mind. Sometimes while you're making a beer, the name and the style of beer that you're making comes to it. Sometimes, especially with trademark infringement problems, which we've had in the past, Resurrected, Resurrection, now Incarnation is one of our beers we've gone through some issues with. But it's a lot of it's just fun. I mean, sometimes it's really simple and you're trying to come up with something that supports a beer that's nicer. And sometimes you just want to be playful, like Devil's Invention.
Well, because I was a little worried about the Contact High beer. Before I tried it, I was afraid to touch it. Well, listen, you guys are competitors. This is a competitive scene. We just heard how many new breweries there are and how many are coming. So are you guys friends? Or how competitive and how cutthroat is the business? That's what I want to know.
I think on our level, it's definitely friends. I mean, we just had a huge group of the guys from Perennial at our brewery on Friday. Myself and Andrew, another guy at Four Hands, were at Perennial on Thursday in the brewery just drinking and hanging out. I think when breweries get bigger, maybe there may be competition on the sales side when you're talking about much larger breweries than what we are. But in St. Louis, the scene, I feel like, is definitely friendly.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. You know, brewing is an industry where there are very few jerks. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about the St. Louis beer scene is that, like, we all kind of have our own niche and we're all, you know, like, yeah, the sales guys are competing for tap handles. But among brewers, you know, like, we're all just kind of reaping in all of the wonderful beers that everybody else is brewing.
One final question for you both. How interesting is it to you that here you are involved in the brewing of beer in a city where the history of brewing beer is so iconic? Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like, you're kind of a piece of history. I live in Fox Park, and almost every morning I wake up and I walk out to my car for my 6 a.m. brew shift, and there is the smell of wort, you know, wafting through the neighborhood coming over from AB, and we're just, you know, we're down the road from that, and it's a wonderful place to be brewing beer.
Andy, do you have a historical perspective on what you're doing?
I definitely do, and I think there's a romance to the history. I think more, honestly, it's kind of weird, but I think towards the Lemp Brewery and its past in St. Louis, which was the biggest before Prohibition, and how they used caves to cellar beer and lager beer before refrigeration was created, and Anheuser-Busch could kind of take a foothold. But I look at Anheuser-Busch as part of our history, even though they're still here, and really take from that, and it's really, for me, it's more exciting about the craft and the movement and brewing some traditional styles that, especially the ones in Europe, that have fallen out of favor and we're brewing in the United States now and that are so good that they're better than the ones in Europe and they're being shipped back to Europe for them to drink now. But the Anheuser-Busch and Lemp brewing background and other breweries is definitely a part of our presence here.
Well, thank you for being here today, and cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
That's St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter talking with Andy Bergio, a brewer at Four Hands Brewing Company, with Jonathan Moxie of Perennial Artisan Ales, and with Catherine Claney, managing editor at Sauce Magazine. This month's edition of Sound Bites featured two of the five brewers the magazine featured in its annual guide to beer issue.
I'm pretty good at drinking beer. I'm not the type to work in a bank. I'm no good slapping on paint. Don't have a knack for making motors crank, no. But I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.